When you come to read this, you recognize there is this extreme line of demarcation, of understanding before the cross and understanding after it. And what you understand here, and this is like a little bit of a lecture on verbs of being, you know, is were and are. There's a tremendous contrast in here between were and are. And this is what we always need to understand, that before the cross, we deal with were. After the cross, we come to are. We are what we are. And you heard today what happened with the children of Israel as they were disobedient to God. But God, in his grace, chose to bring them relief. And Nicodemus couldn't understand that when he was talking to Jesus, and you heard that reading from John 3. But Jesus told him very clearly to understand that there would be a day in which there would be a relief, and that relief would be forever. That he would be lifted up on that cross. And by being lifted up on that cross, that anyone that would come to him would receive everlasting life, that they would receive life from him. And this is what Paul is really talking about for us to understand. We've been talking about this transformation all through Lent. And that's what we need to understand. But it isn't just in Lent. It's consistent. It's always this transformation, what God has done, the R. You see, he starts out and he starts talking out in this, says, hath he quickened. That's not even in the Greek text. What he says is, and you, he says, now you were dead in your wrongdoings and sins. He says, that's what you were. He says, you were this. Now, you need to understand that. You are not are that. You were this. Were. Lots of times we blur the distinction between the were and the are. We lose the sense. We think we still were when we aren't. Or as I used to say when I was a kid, we ain't, because it is a word. You understand, this is what we aren't. We were. He says, you walked according to the age of this world, according to the leader with the right to rule the air, the spirit that's working now in the sons of disobedience, in whose company also we ourselves all behaved, past tense, at one time in the desires of our flesh, doing the things our flesh and thoughts wanted us to. So we were, by nature, children, worthy of receiving only God's righteous anger like the rest. But God, two of the sweetest words in the scripture. But God, you were this. You were this. You were in darkness. You were lost. You were in sin. But God. And that's what brings us to the point of the cross. But God. He says very clearly, but God, who is rich in mercy, on account of the love that he loved us with so much, even though we were dead in wrongdoings, made us alive together in Christ. That's what you are. You are not what you were. Don't live what you were. Live what you are. That's the whole point of the transformation. Be what you are. Understand the nature of the difference between those two verbs of state. One is past. The other is a present. It's a now. This is what you are. Why are you this? Because by grace you are saved.
Hallelujah.
By grace you are saved. The one who dies on that cross does it for you. He dies on that cross to take your sin, my sin. And he rises on the third day with victory in his wings over sin, death, and the devil, and saves us by his grace. And that's what we are. That's what we are. We do not dwell on what we were. Why would we dwell on what we were? Try to fix that. You know, a lot of you know I was a tennis coach at Tech and different places. My players would go out there and they'd hit a lob into the air. And then they'd stand there and watch it. And I would ask them all the time, you know, what exactly are you intending to do with that thing? You know, you send it up there in the air and you're watching it. Move your feet. You know, move one way or the other. If it's short, then back up. If it's good, then run forward. But don't stand there and watch it, because you certainly cannot change it. I don't think. You know, I guess Uri Geller or one of those people, they might be able to change it. But most people can't do that. We do not dwell on what we were. We can't change what we were. But Jesus did. Because he changed us. And he took us from what we were. And he made us to be what we are. Through that glorious, horrible instrument, the cross. By dying on that cross, he died our death. And by rising again, he raised us to newness of life. And that's what Paul says. Even when we were dead in our wrongdoings, Jesus did this act for us. He says, he made us alive, raised us up together. He raised us up together and seated us in the heavenly places. He seated us in the heavenly places. That's a past tense. He seated us already in the heavenly places. He took us from our old existence, brought us into a new existence, and seated us together with him forever in the heavenlies. But not sometime in the future, now. Now, we are seated with him in the heavenly places. We sit around and we look around and we say, well, no, you know, I don't see anything, any great throne room or anything here, you know, or things like that. No, that's not the point. You don't see it. But it is a greater reality. You have been transformed by the Son of the living God. And we have been made new to the glory of the Son of God. That now we live in newness of life, and we walk in newness of life. The transformation is in place so that now we are seated together with him in the heavenlies. That you are always before your God. Your God always sees you. You are always present before God. And your life is lived out in your God. Why? He says. And this is the only sort of future thing he has in here. This is in Greek, this is a hina with a subjunctive, which means that it's expressing some sort of idea of futurity. He says, so that he would show in the coming ages the far exceeding richness of his grace in kindness to us in Christ Jesus. I want you to understand what I just said, because I didn't say it, Paul did. that he would show, that he would show after that cross, after his resurrection, that he would show in the ages to come the far exceeding richness of his grace in kindness to us in Christ Jesus. And there you have it. People wander around, what is God up to? What's God doing? You know, I like that when people say, you know, because they don't really think God knows what he's doing. And they think they do, which is pretty funny. But this is the thing, you understand. Well, what is God doing? Well, there's no big secret to it. Because God is showing in every age the far exceeding richness of his grace in kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Because he has changed us. He has transformed us. He has taken us from what we were, and he has made us what we are, which is the very righteous, cleansed, holy children of God. That now we live in this new life. Why? So that he can continue to show us his kindness. That he can continue to show us that grace. And Paul has two wonderful explanatory, and I'm not going to get into the Greek of this, but he does these nice things, these explanatory things, these appositional things. He says, for by grace you are saved through faith. He repeats that. In other words, you didn't do this. You didn't have anything to do with it. For by grace, which is an unmerited favor, something we could never earn. He says, by grace, you are saved. Now, I want you to understand. Did you hear the R? You are saved. You are saved. You're not trying to get there. You are. For by grace, you are saved. The means of that coming to you is faith. He says, through faith. But it's not your faith. It's a faith that's worked in you through the Word of God, through the Spirit of God. He says, this is the vehicle that he gave for this. For by grace, you are saved through faith. And he says, so this isn't of your own doing. He says, you didn't do this of your own doing. He says, it's God's gift. Not because of works you've done, so that no one would have anything to brag about. And then he adds another one of these four things in Greek. For of his own making we are. We are. Of his own making we are. You think you're Lord of your life. You are wrong. The only thing we could do with our life is ruin it. That was it. That was the totality of the whole thing. Now, we are his workmanship. We have been born again. We have been made new. And that's what Jesus was trying to explain to Nicodemus, but Nicodemus couldn't get it. Why couldn't he get it? Because that was before the cross. After the cross, now we understand the are. Not what we were, but what we are. Because we are his workmanship. He has made us. He shapes us. He keeps us. He completes us. He finishes the job from start to finish. He does all of this on his own. And we were created in Christ Jesus. In other words, the new creation has come. We have been recreated in the image of Christ Jesus for good works. He says, and where do these works come from? That God prepared ahead of time. Your life belongs to your God. And your life and what you do is being worked by your God. Because your God so deeply loves you and is so close to us that, as a matter of fact, he is engaged with us in our every activity. God is with us. He gives us our breath. He gives us our being. He gives us our life so that we now live a new life. Because that's what we are. Now, you see, our problem is that we often go back to what we were. We think in the terms of what we were. And we were not so hot. And because we were not so hot, why would we want to go back to were? But all the time in religion, what religion does is draw us back into the were. It says, well, you know, don't be thinking of yourself that way. You know, don't be thinking quite like that. You know, maybe if you try hard enough, maybe if you put a little more offering in the plate, maybe if you do some other sort of thing, maybe then. No, how goofy. We are. Not because of what we do. We are because of who we are. Because we are in Jesus Christ. He has created us and made us new. We're the creation of God. And he works in us according to his good pleasure, as Paul says elsewhere. It's God who is at work within us, both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. And what that means is, as he pleases. As he pleases. He says, he prepared these ahead of time so that we would walk in them. So welcome to your life. Do you remember that old TV show where they used to come out and they show, these are the things of your life, you know, and they'd show you that sort of stuff and you're sitting there, oh, yeah. You know, but that was the way it was, you know. I know, I'm old. That was still black and white TV. But you understand that this sort of thing goes on, you know. And people sit there and say, well, that's my life, you know. No, no, no. Your life is hidden with Christ and God. Your life is very preciously held in the hand of your Almighty Father, who loves you so greatly that on that cross at Calvary, he sent his only begotten Son to suffer and die for you, to take away your sin, so that now sin could not be imputed to you, that through the blood of Jesus Christ, you would be righteous and holy and pure in his sight, and that you would walk in the newness of that life, because he gave you your life. And that's who you are. And that's why I tell you all the time, don't look in the mirror and look back on what you were. Look and see who you are. Who you are. Understand who you are through Jesus Christ. And then give glory to God. Because you are what you are in Christ Jesus. Because God gave you that gift. He gifted us to be able to see what we could not see. He gifted us to know what we could not know. He gifted us that we would be saved by grace through faith, not of our own doing, but the gift of God. And today, live the gift. Live what you are. Don't go back to what you were. Don't let anybody drag you back into what you were. Religious people try to do that all the time. They try to make you feel bad about what you were. Don't feel bad about what you were. Let me tell you what that does. Diddly squat does nothing. Be what you are. Be what you are in Jesus Christ. Confess Jesus Christ as your Savior. Know the power of His salvation and the power of that cross, the power of His resurrection, and walk. Walk in the life that Jesus Christ has given you to walk in. And do so freely. Amen. Freely. For Christ's sake. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, you who wrought this tremendous transformation, you who did this wonderful work of this new creation, we pray, Father, even now, even though we can't see it with our eyes, that, Father, we would see it and know it by faith. And so, Father, we would be instilled and endued with power from on high by your Holy Spirit to know that transformation and so live in this life, Father. New in your eyes, constantly new. Let us live what we are, not what we were. Let the were be behind us, and let the are be that which we confess. And so, Father, let us live. Let us live the gift that you have given us. And may you receive all glory, honor, and praise through Jesus the Christ, who worked so great a work for us, that by grace, through faith, we are saved for his sake. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion and fellowship of this Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.